Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
God is so good to all of us. I've been just meditating on something that Debbie and I have been talking about a lot. And, you know, as a pastor, I just have to tell you this. You know, it's kind of hard. I'm 6'4", and even though I'm an old guy, you know, I'm kind of a crusty old tough guy. And so I just want you to know, it's hard for me to say this, but I'm going to say it because I mean it. I really love you. I really want you to be successful in every area of your life, with your home and your family, your children. But most importantly, I want you to be successful in the abundance that God has for you in every area of your life, including peace and joy and fulfillment and contentment. And know assuredly, as we pass the days together, doing life together. Did you know that we're doing life together? As we do this life together, that we can come together in agreement and look at the Word of God and find out what God has for us. I want you to be an abundant person. I want you to be filled with the abundance that God has to offer you. I don't want you to just get by any more than if you have children. You don't want your children to just get by. God has made a provision for you not to get by, but to live an abundant life. And I'm not talking about just money, even though money's part of it. I'm talking about every area of your life to live in abundance. And I want you to know that God cares about you and speaks about it many times in the Scriptures. And so tonight we're going to be talking about a little subject just to help you get realigned for some of you, and some of them lined up the right way, on the road to abundance. It's what it's called. That you and I realize that God, number one, has a plan for us to get into abundance. You know, I don't know, I've been around churches for, you know, four decades. And so I want you to know and understand that I have heard a lot of messages on abundance. And I appreciate all of them. They're all wonderful. But I kind of got to the place where all I ever heard from preachers, it seemed like, it may not be this way, but all I ever really heard from preachers was, if you want to be abundant, give your money. And it just so frustrated me because I felt like, you know, you got to be kidding. You know, it seemed like the only one that had abundance in the church was some of those preachers, and not everybody was that way, and it just kind of like turned me off. And I know that God wants to prosper them and wants to prosper you. But I knew this. I knew and was smart enough in Scripture to know this, that you could give your money. And it is really one of the great keys to being an abundant person, is being a giver. There is no doubt about that. But you could give your money and still have a heart that's wrong and not get blessed. In other words, you can give and give and give and have murder in your heart. Don't think for a moment God's going to bless you. Don't think for a moment He's just going to say, well, they gave finances, therefore, you know, I'll just bless them with more finances, when their life is not in sync with His ways. And in order for you and I to get on the road to abundance, we're going to have to find out more than just giving finances. And I want you to know, and I want you to understand this, I am not selling short the message of giving. I want you to know that one of the very keys to open the lock of your future is whether or not you're a generous person. But I want to go past that, assuming that you already know that. Listen to me again. Assuming that you already know that, and look at some of the areas where God describes abundance and the previous verses before it that tell what it takes to walk in that abundance. And so what I've done is I've looked at the Word of God, and I've come up with some things that I think are fascinating for you and I to look at in the Scripture, where God describes abundance and then takes us to the Scripture that precedes that abundance description and tells us how to get into abundance by looking at the Word of God. Are you okay? You're following me with that? Before I do, I want to take you to, in the New Testament, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And he writes this in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And he writes in verse number 8, let's put it up on the overhead, and let's just mark it in your Bible. You really ought to know this verse offhand, right off the bat. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to say to you. God has the ability to take his power and make it abound towards you. Is that an amazing thought right there? I mean, listen, you can have a lot of stuff abound towards you. I don't know if you've ever, the other day I was out jogging, you know, and here comes this big dog that was not on a leash, and it was abounding towards me. I'm telling you, I'm going, I don't want to deal with this, but thank God the dog got near me, smelled me from a distance, and said, that man stinks. And he must have gone off the other direction. And you know, but he was abounding, hair flying, everything, just abounding towards me and just kind of like pouncing as he took every stroke. That's what God's describing here. God is able to make just the grace, which is his ability to get the job done on your behalf. Listen to this. His ability to get the job done on your behalf. That grace to just like leap at you, to bound towards you. And I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God to abound towards me. I need all I can get, especially during tough times like this. And he says, God is able to make all grace abound, not just some grace, but all grace abound towards you. That you, now listen, when that grace gets to you, abounds on you, there's a reason. See the words of that you? That you means he's going to tell you now what's going to happen when all that grace abounds towards you. And it finally hits you. Listen to this. Always have an all sufficiency in all things. In other words, there's enough all. He says, listen to this. Having all sufficiency in all things. Not some things. In other words, there's enough for everything. Aren't you sick and tired of having just enough? Is anybody in here just sick and tired of just having just enough? Is there any way that God can just do something? Will it bankrupt God in heaven to give me a little bit more? I mean, will it, you know, like defile the plan of eternity for God to fill up, you know, my bank account once in a while to have more than enough sufficiency? Of course he wants to do it or he wouldn't say this. Always having, not sometimes, not occasionally, but always having. Always having all sufficiency, in other words, enough in all things, not some things, may have an abundance for every good work. Not for some good work. Wouldn't you love to just finance the gospel for every good work? Wouldn't you love to be one of the biggest givers around that, man, when you go and you just have enough for this, that, and this, and that, for every good thing going on, God just, wouldn't you just love to be that kind of a person? Well, that's exactly what the Word of God is saying right here. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. God is saying it to who? The Corinthians 2,000 years ago. If you study Scripture, they were already wealthy. What are they talking about? God is saying it to you. God preserved it for you and I to look at today. And if we'll believe him, there's some truths in there about the abundant life. And there's a road to how to get there. So God is able to make that grace abound towards us. I want to know how to do it. So I thought it might be kind of fun to look at what the road is made up of. So the road makeup. Let's take a look at it. The road makeup. What is going to make up the road to this abundance that God says that we can have? That he is going to have grace abound towards us. In other words, let me say it like this. What can I do to get out of this just get by lifestyle, just barely making it, my whole existence, let's say if you're one of these kind of people, is dependent on everybody else's good investment advice and satisfaction. Instead of getting just by, but walking and living in a life of this abundance. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not teaching this from the poverty side. I'm teaching this because Deborah and I are in abundance. And every time I've ever said that, you stop giving, and that breaks rule number one that we said originally that you ought to know about. But Debbie and I are not teaching this because it's just in the Word of God. We have, for all these 30-some-odd years, put it to work. And I'm here to tell you something as a living memorial for Jesus Christ. This works. What I'm going to share with you. And it's not just giving, but it's not holding back in giving. It's part of giving. But notice what the Word of God says. So what the makeup of the road is very important. Number one, here it is. It's got to be idol-free. What do I mean by idol-free? In other words, there are all kinds of stuff in our life that take the place of God. We got all kinds of little things in our life. We're not an idol-worshipping people that have, you know, golden idols and silver and statues in our house about this and that. We're not that kind of a society. There are many societies out there that have that. But we have a different kind of an idol in America. We have idols such as wealth and sports, and idols such as television, and idols such as, you know, our pleasures, and idols such as retirements and endowments of some kind. We have idols towards the ways of this world. And in order for you and I to become an abundant person that God wants you to be and me to be, we're going to have to get some idols out of our life. You ever stopped and asked God, what's an idol in your life? It's real easy to define what's an idol in your life. Let me tell you how. Pick up your checkbook and see what you spend money on. That'll tell you right off the bat, because you keep a record of what you put more money on. Blockbuster. And not that God doesn't want you to do that, this and that and this and pizza parlor this and pizza parlor that and Chuck E. Cheese and Disneyland and all. And God's not saying you can't do that. But when all of those things start to take the place of God, then we've got idols in our life. That's the key to this. Can I tell you something about Americans? Most people don't even know they have idols in their life. Most people don't even know they have idols. You have to literally ask God to reveal to you what is that idol. And then you have to have the strength in God to get rid of the idol and put God first. I mean, there are people, I was watching people, they have a concert, an old rock group from years past. They had a convention about this rock group. And everybody was dressed like this rock group. It was Kiss, you know. And everybody was dressed well, the same makeup. I mean, these people were like wild to be in this part of this rock group. I mean, that's an idol when you go that far. I don't see anybody dressing up like Jesus walking in the house of God. You know what I'm saying? We were down in San Diego the other day, and they have what is that big convention they have down there with all those people? Comic-Con. And Comic-Con was on, and it had like almost 200,000 people walking around in uniforms like Star Wars and Star Trek and, you know, Star Wars and going like this and everybody, you know. And I mean, nuts, you know, nuts is a $3 bill. The whole place was full of nutty people. And you have to be absolutely have an idol in your life to go that far. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. I'm not saying don't have fun and go do that. But man, when you go that far, here's the question. Do you go that far for Jesus? It's not that you can't go that far, but do you go that far for Jesus? If you don't, and you're that passionate about the things of Jesus, you got idols. And with idols stop you from the blessing. Let me prove it to you. Let me take you to Isaiah. Isaiah the 30th chapter. This is something kind of new for us to take a look at. We don't often look in places like this. When we get to Isaiah the 30th chapter, look with me in verse number 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left hand. Verse number 22. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and ornaments of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing, and you will say to them, get away. Sometimes we need in our houses a good old house cleaning of the junk that keeps us. May I say something? A new idol is sometimes cell phones and internet on the cell phones. And you can't even talk to people because they spend more time on the internet than they do with things of God. It's not that you can't spend time with it. I'm just saying, how much time do you spend with stuff besides the things of God? Could it be an idol? Could it be stopping your blessing? Because here he says, get away. But look at verse number 23. Then. Everybody say then.
Then.
Nah, come on. Will you play with me tonight? Everybody say then.
Then.
No, 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 no. You still didn't do it yet. After we read all of that about getting rid of the idols and throwing them away, the very first word in verse number 23 is the word then. Everybody say then.
Then.
Okay, the word then means because you did that, then God's going to do something. See? It wasn't until you got rid of the idols, then God's going to do something. Listen to this. Then he will give the rain for your seed, of which you will sow, and the ground and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it will be fat and plenty in the day that your cattle will feed in large pastures. Let me tell you what he just described. Abundance. And man, you know you need abundance. In order for abundance to come, you can't hold on to the idols, because if abundance comes, you will spend it on the idols. I heard a preacher say it like this one time. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. I am preaching good right now. This is good. And sometimes we have idols. Sometimes, listen to this. Sometimes idols are your own kids. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Throw them away? No. Please don't throw them away. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about loving them less. I'm talking about learning how to love God more. That's all. You don't have to get rid of them. You don't have to do anything. Just learn to love God more. You don't have to get rid of the computers. You don't have to get rid of the sports games. You don't have to get rid of the things you like. Now listen, you got a season pass at Disneyland. You're there all the time. So do I. I got 10 grandkids. I got a season pass at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? I wear the benches out down there. You know, there's no way of getting me on some of those rides. But I want you to know something. I got a season pass. But it's not an idol. I love God a whole lot more than my special benches at Disneyland. And I'm telling you, when people are in my bench, I just stare at them. Make them feel so weird, they got to get up, and then I get my bench. Got to get rid of the idols in order for the abundance. Then, everybody say then.
Yes.
Then, here comes God making your life abundant by, wow, he makes all grace abound towards you. Whew, powerful. Are you listening to me? We're talking about, you know, the makeup of the road. So let's go back and let's talk about the road's makeup once again. Here's number two. Listen to this. Hard work and obedience. I know you love that one. Here's what the American church wants. No work and do what they want. But I'm talking the way God looks at things, not the way you feel about things. Here's what I want. I want no work, and I want to do what I want. Anybody else like that? But God says hard work and obedience will bring abundance. And without an understanding of that, when it comes time to work hard, you know, you don't work hard because guess what? If you want that abundance, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to be obedient. Now listen to this, Deuteronomy 30th chapter, real quick. Are you okay with me?
Yes.
Are we still friendly?
Yes.
Okay, because I still love you. But somebody needs to love us enough to tell us the truth. Even though we don't like it. Like, who wants hard work and who wants to be obedient? I want to be disobedient. I'm brought up in a disobedient body. My body wants to eat all the time, French fries. My body doesn't want to run. My body doesn't want to work. It wants to sit around in the sun. My body wants to drink coffee. My body wants to have all those fun things to do. I don't want to do this stuff. But God says, if you'll work hard, follow me, then things are going to change. So you're going to have to make up your mind. Stay in poverty or walk in abundance. If you're going to walk in abundance, it means working hard and being obedient to the ways of God. Listen to this, in verse number 8. Because, listen, abundance comes from God, not from somebody else. We're going to talk about that at men's breakfast. Abundance comes from God, and not from somebody else. And so when you please God, here comes the abundance. And it takes hard work and obedience to search the things of God. Deuteronomy, did I tell you that in the 30th chapter? Verse number 8, listen to this. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord, and do all of his commandments, and which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand. God is not slack. God will help you to work hard. Everybody say work.
Work.
And he comes along, he'll help you to abound. Listen, he'll make you to abound in the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and to produce your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over your good. He will rejoice as he did over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, what for? To keep his commandments and his statutes, which is written in the book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. In other words, here, it's going to take hard work and obedience. Guys, we're talking about a life of abundance. You want it. Now listen to me. Do you know that you go to school all your life, first 18, 20 years of your life, just so that you can have some abundance in life? Did you know that when you get a job, you learn how to do the job and you kiss up to everybody you don't want to kiss up to so you keep your job and have the money? Let's talk real here. Let's talk real. And then someone comes along and tells you about how you can be abundant and you say, well, that's too hard for me. Is it too hard for you? You just went to school for 18 years and you've been kissing up to the boss and when everybody else is not looking, and now you're telling it's too hard to God when God's the one that can make you abundant? Come on! That's not even rational thinking. That's like crazy thinking. You work hard to do it in the natural. What if you worked hard to do it in the spiritual and God got behind you and made all grace abound towards you? See? So all of a sudden our thinking's got to change. We need to work hard in the things of God and obey what God has to say. But it doesn't stop there. Let me tell you something more about the road, the makeup of the road. The road's made up, okay? Here, I like this one, number three. The road's makeup. You got to make up that road by trusting God. Bottom line, if you don't trust God, nothing's going to work. In order for me to work hard and obey, listen to this, in order for me to get rid of my idols, or at least get rid of this stuff where I love God and work with God and talk to God and spend more time with God than I do the stuff for the world, if I'm going to do that, I got to at least get to a place where I trust God. Because in other words, I will do it because some preacher tells me to do it, and 2 days later I'm back doing the same thing. So I got to get to the place where I'm not just listening to the preacher, but it becomes part of me. What becomes part of me? Here's what becomes part of me. I trust God. And you're in a world right now that no one trusts God. They only trust themselves, trust the economy, trust the politicians. Go ahead and put your trust in the politicians. You have to be out of your mind. In fact, if you don't believe that, just turn on the news and see what's happening. Things aren't getting better. Pastor David said something about it. You can't even watch and listen to the news without getting sick in your stomach about who murdered who, and you know it. This world is failing. Why follow the world? Follow God's ways. And if we don't learn to trust God with everything, I got to trust God in the marriage. I got to trust God with the kids. I got to trust God with the church. I got to trust God that God's going to speak to you, that you bring your tithes and offering. There's nobody twisting your arm to bring your tithes and offering. Trust that God's going to move in your heart to bring your finances in so we can keep going, preaching the gospel, and things can happen like you saw right before your very eyes. I got to trust God day in and day out, day up, day on. Listen, like we said last week, this place started in faith. It'll be sustained in faith, and it will finish in faith. And that's the way life is, because the just shall live by faith. You're not going to live any other way. It's not going to happen. God's not going to fill up your bank account so you don't have to believe in him anymore. God's not going to fill up your bank account so you don't cruise with him all the time. You know, you don't have to cruise with him anymore. You only cruised with him when you had problems. Until you get to the place where you are trusting God and you can be trusted with extra so he knows that your heart doesn't go somewhere else other than him. Without that, guys, we fail. All of us, including me and Deborah, without trusting God. I like Leviticus. I'm playing in the Old Testament all night tonight. Did you notice? In Leviticus, the 26th chapter, because we're always in the New Testament. So I thought we'd have fun in the Old Testament. Leviticus 26 chapter, verse number 3. And I want to read this to you. It may not make much sense to you, but I'll show you how it works. Listen closely. We're talking about trusting God. If we're going to live an abundant life, we're going to have grace abound towards us. God says he can make that grace abound towards you so that you can have all sufficiency, have abundance for all things, not just a little bit. Listen to this. And then he comes along, verse number 3, he says, if you walk 26, Leviticus 26, verse number 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then, everybody say then.
Then.
Wait a minute, everybody say then.
Then.
When?
Then.
When you do those things, something's going to happen, is what he just said, right? Then, listen to this, and that makes it a promise from God. In other words, if you do them, God has an obligation to do it. If you do them, he doesn't do it, he's no longer God. Is that a shock? Because then it would be a lie. And God doesn't lie. So, are you following me? So this is a promise from God. He says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field, they shall yield their fruit. This is talking about abundance. Watch this. Your threshing shall last until the time of the vintage, and your vintage shall last until the time of the sowing. And you shall eat your, I love the word your. Everybody say mine.
Mine.
Your bread to the full, and you will dwell in your land safely. And then verse 6 says, I'll give you peace. And he goes on. That's abundance. Guys, listen. There's more to living a life of abundance than just giving your money to get abundance rolling in your family, even though you need to do that. You say, well, how does this trust God? Did you see the first part of that? Go back to verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them. You can't do that until you trust God. You will do it for a day or two or try it and it won't work. If you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, and then perform them? In other words, isn't it enough just to walk in them? Now I'm not only walking in them, I've got to keep walking in them and keep them. And then I've got to perform them, walk them out. That I actually have an action behind what I'm believing. Now, you can't do that unless you trust God. And that's what the road of abundance is all about. It's about trusting God. Trusting God that he's God that made a promise. Trusting God that he's a God that's in the heavens and he knows what you're doing. Trusting God that he is a God that has never failed. He's a God that raised the dead, opens the blind eyes. He's a God that meets your needs and mine according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's a God that's not moved by the wealth of this world, but he created everything that is wealth in this world. And the abundance of his financing can be yours. If you will simply get on the road to abundance. Three areas of our life. One, free yourself of idols. Check yourself out. What is it that you spend? I talked to one guy one time and says, man, I don't have time to go to church. I love God. I'm a Christian. But I got to go fishing on weekends. That's my day to go fishing. I want you to tell you right now, man, I tell you, you're not taking one of those fish with you to hell. Not going to do it. They're not going to hell. Those fish are too smart to go to hell. They're not going to hell with you. And let me tell you something. That's an idol. Now, there's nothing wrong going fishing. I love to fish. I mean, I love to fish. One guy says, hey, I find golf a God out in the golf course. That's such a bunch of bull. I play golf. I have prayed for 30 years for God to meet me on the golf course because I'm such a lousy golf player. He is not on the golf course. And what I'm telling you is you need to do things and find out what really is real. And if God is real, then you need to get rid of some idols to keep you from all that can be with God. Is anybody listening? Second thing is hard work and obedience. Hard work to God, for God, in God, and obedience to his way. And thirdly, you're going to have to trust him. Every turn of the road, every day. Nobody said it's going to be easy. I mean, I was telling Deborah this morning, how easy could it be? I'm always baffled at Paul, who had the snot beat out of him, shipwrecked, snake bit, marooned on islands, most of the New Testament written from a jail sentence. You gotta be kidding me. He had 100 stripes on his back beaten by his countrymen. What a lousy ministry. Yet today, he touches the entire world. See, sometimes we don't understand that God is a faithful God. And things may not look good and may be difficult, but we got to trust Him during these tough times because He knows what He's doing. And the end of your life hasn't been written yet. The last chapter in your book hasn't been written yet. And as long as there's God, there's an exciting ending. You just got to put Him first, not the idols. You got to work hard and be obedient, and you got to trust Him. If God spoke to you tonight, give Him a great big praise the Lord. Do you hear that? It's true. And we give you praise, God. Glory to God. Woo! Isn't that good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.